The following program was paid for by Templar Real Estate. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff and management of WMTR. As always, it is advisable to consult a professional before making a major decision. It's time now for the Templar Real Estate Talk Show. Here's your host for the program, Joseph J. Zoppi.
Hello, welcome to the Templar Real Estate Talk Show. My name is Joseph J. Zoppi, a real estate investor, consumer advocate, author, and managing partner of Templar Real Estate Enterprises. You could reach us at templarcashforhouses.com. That's T-E-M-P-L-A-R, cashforhouses.com. That's one word. Or you could call us at 973-240-8593. Again, that's 973-240-8593, and we could answer any questions you may have, or you could email us from our website as well. Ask any questions, or if you want something discussed on this radio show, we'd be more than happy to try to accommodate you. For first-time listeners, my company is a real estate investment firm. We buy houses for cash, we purchase apartment buildings, we do joint ventures with other real estate investors. We loan money for rehabs and provide transactional and gap funding as well. We work with individuals that want to invest with us in single-family houses up to apartment buildings. We do not speculate. We're very protective of our money and our investors' money. We're not a brokerage, and I'm not a real estate agent, but I have individuals on staff that could sell your house through the traditional multiple listing service. This show is going to go over everything there is about real estate and those things that impact real estate. We'll talk about our rehabs, some of our investments, what went well, what did not go well, and how we compensated for that. We'll talk about the economy and interest rates. We'll discuss trends in the real estate market. Real estate is one of your biggest investments, so it's important you know as much as possible about it. I'm going to provide you with my opinion. It's only my opinion. I ask everyone to do a lot of research, make sure you turn over all those stones, peel back the onion, as they say, all those cliches about different things, but specifically about this. Make sure that you just do a lot of homework. Again, as always, I'll say it every time, if you read an article on the internet, make sure you realize the perspective of the author. That is the biggest thing. I read two articles this week. One said the housing market boom is over, and the other one says the housing market boom is not over until 2023. So I don't know. You know, someone could say one person's right over the other. I have my own opinion on that. We could talk about that a little bit today, hopefully. But again, you have to look at the perspective of the individual and what they want to convey. So they're going to obviously show you proof that something is a certain way. So when you do your research, you have to understand that. When you do your research for bringing someone on, providing a service, you got to ask lots of good questions. I always prefer when someone does their homework and asks me a lot of questions, because my statements are hopefully supported by their research. I had a gentleman that was going to, we were going to buy his house for cash. He lives in a really exclusive town, but it's a big house. It's a fairly big house, you know, about 3,000 square feet, needed a lot of work, a lot of work. So I was going to have to put a lot of effort into it, a lot of stuff in terms of HVAC, and it was just going to take a lot of rehab. And I was going over some of the stuff with them in terms of those costs, and I said also one of the options is to list it. And I explained, you know, he was on a little bit of a main drag, and I told him if he was like on the side road, you'd probably get $100,000 more for the house. And these houses are expensive anyway. And he said, yeah, you're right, Joe. because he did a lot of research, because he was disputing that with the township for the property tax. So he did an analysis and everything, but he did the homework. And it justified, you know, a number of statements that I made. So, you know, he felt more comfortable also with me because he could tell I was telling him the truth. And that's a big factor, because whoever it is goes into a new situation with a potential client, you're not going to trust that person for the most part. You know, and that's the way it is. You know, some people are just very trusting, but most people are going to have their guard up, and that's understandable. And that's why, you know, for us, you know, we have great reviews. I have a background in terms of past work with managing large sums of money for the business that I was working for. And, you know, I've been interviewed for Forbes, Fox News, a number of different outlets, as well as I'm on the Forbes Real Estate Council. So again, all those things stack up to something that's just, I'm not a fly by night. We're not a fly by night. We have a great reputation, and that's what we make sure that we want to keep, always a good reputation. I'd like to do a quick shout out to a couple of our favorites that I always talk about. And of course, that's Paulette, the famous crossing guard from Livingston, as well as Tim from Cedar Grove Water Department. We have a couple of new listeners that had called me. One is Susan G. and her husband, John G. So, hey guys, welcome to listening, and thank you very much for all the kind words you have given me. So, coming up, one of the things that I'm going to be doing is I'm going to a conference, a mastermind that I belong to, and we always share ideas with the top, it's the top 150 flippers in the country, and we share our war stories and what's going good, what is not going well, and, you know, we learn from each other. And what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to have one individual from my company attending that, and there's another mastermind going on for large multifamily property, so I'll be attending that one. And again, I spend just on myself probably close to at least $60,000 on different types of education annually. And that's the only way, you know, we stay ahead of the curve. So that's very, very important to us, and see what the emerging trends are, especially when we're looking at it from a national perspective. So you look at things, you know, locally, but you also have to look at them from a national perspective. And I say that all the time, because certain parts of the country might turn to the downside or upside. It depends what it is. It depends on, you know, what time of year or where you are in the life cycle of, you know, anything, especially real estate, and you see what's going on, so then you could prepare accordingly. The areas that are the most expensive always turn down the first. They always go down first, and then the other ones follow suit. So it's always good that you have a pulse on it. So I might have someone from LA or San Francisco saying, yeah, Joe, we're having, you know, some challenges now selling houses, and we're starting to see some problems. Or no, we're still, everything's doing well, you know, so we'll see. You know, right now, Jersey, of course, is not, we'll say, the leader in terms of people flocking to the state. You know, we usually, people are leaving the state more than coming to the state. And we'll see how that impacts it. So we might, you know, be one of the first ones, or New York, New Jersey, things like that, as opposed to in the previous down cycle where you had Las Vegas turn negative first, parts of California, parts of Arizona, things like that. So we'll see. And we always try to keep, like I said, a strong pulse on that. That's very, very important to us. And seeing where everything's going. We look at economic factors very closely. I have my Wall Street Journal, and I'm always looking at things. And, you know, we're always talking about that because we have large investments. And our goal is to get in and get out as quickly as possible. And, you know, right now we're seeing, you know, a couple of towns that are, you know, concerning us a little bit. And we have a house in one of those. Now, we'll always make money. I'm not really concerned about that as much as how much money. So that's the question. So we have one town, Long Valley. It seems things aren't moving as quickly as we would like. I've seen a number of houses priced around our price range. Our house right now is not on the market, but we're starting to see some reductions. And so it's a little bit of a concern to us. It might be just because it's July, August coming up. Now, not that summer is not a strong time, but might be just that so many people are just beaten up by COVID that they're on vacation, they really don't want to think about it, so on and so forth. A lot of families, though, do like to shop in the summer for a house and be well established before the kids go back to school so they could start a new school, but we'll see. Right now, the other trend is obviously there's a good with mortgage rates, the rates are still really good, so that's a positive factor. But, you know, things have been brewing, and you know, I continue to talk about inflation, things like that, so there is a concern on that side about that and how that's going to impact certain things. So we'll see. But, you know, time will tell on that, but we're looking very, very closely at inflation and where it is and what's going to happen with that and how that's going to impact everything from our multifamilies that we're looking at to our single family houses. We have individuals that are calling us, you know, they're kind of concerned also, saying, you know, we really want to sell our house. We want to put it on the market. And, you know, we work with both types of people, those that need to sell their house fast for cash, and those that do not, say, well, I'd like top dollar and I'll wait. And that's a good thing. But we cater to both types of clientele. You know, we have a number of things coming up. I had spoken about last week, I had a woman that she has a really nice house. It was inherited. They pulled the tank. The tank had insurance on it, and I don't think I made that clear last time. I talked about insurance, but did not talk about that. The tank, they had a policy on the tank in the event that it leaked. And it did leak, and it leaked bad, and it leaked into the groundwater. And she's still cleaning it up, and she wanted me to come by. I was a little hesitant, and we'll see. You know, I said, we'll see. And then after that, I made an appointment and I asked her more questions about the leak and I wanted the report. And then she was getting a little cagey about that and a little worried. And I said, well, I have an environmental scientist that wants to look at it. And she wanted to know who it was and so on and so forth. I'm not sure why, because I know she doesn't know the different companies out there, but I, you know, told her who it was, and then she was more hesitant, and then I said to her, how about we just cancel it? And I said to her, I said, I'm going to do my due diligence. And she was, I guess, a little naive, or I'm not sure what, because she just assumed I'd just go there, buy it, and then that's it. And that's not the case. I still have to do my due diligence, and any person that's going to invest money should be doing that. And with that being said, is I look at the issues, I look at the risk, and then I price accordingly. If there's extreme risk, like any wise investor, they're not going to get as much money. It's just that simple. And for this situation, I was not going to give her a lot, relatively speaking. But, you know, she would have came out of that and saying, oh, he could make so much money if he sells it at the top price. And I'm going to come out of that saying, well, I could lose X amount of dollars because I'm not going to be able to sell it. So there's two perspectives on it. So when I price something like this that's very extreme in terms of an issue, I'm going to price it accordingly with the idea that I might lose the money. So I might lose $200,000 or $150,000 based on this, you know, because it might not be sellable because no mortgage company is going to underwrite it. So all those factors come into play. So let me close out this segment. Thank you very much. Again, you could call us at 973-240-8593 or templarcashforhouses.com. Thanks a lot, and I'll see you shortly.
Life can be a roller coaster, and sometimes you need to sell your house fast. That's why there's templarbuyshouses.com. Maybe you're downsizing, getting a divorce, having health or financial issues. If so, head to templarbuyshouses.com. TemplarBuysHouses.com. TemplarBuysHouses.com will buy your house quickly and without hassle. If you've inherited a house that is vacant, contact TemplarBuysHouses.com. Dealing with them is easy and quick. No high-pressure sales tactics, and you won't have to fix up the house. They will buy your house as is. You pick the closing date and when you move out. No commissions and no hassles. Contact TemplarBuysHouses.com. TemplarBuysHouses.com with an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. Call 973-315-7990. That's 973-315-7990.
Be sure to listen to the podcast of the Templar Real Estate Talk Show. Find it now at TemplarBuysHouses.com.
Hello, welcome back to the Templar Real Estate Talk Show. My name is Joseph J. Zoppi, Managing Partner of Templar Real Estate Enterprises. You can reach us at 973-240-8593. Again, that's 973-240-8593 or TemplarCashForHouses.com. That's TemplarCashForHouses.com, cashforhouses.com. That's one word. Again, if you need to sell your house fast, please give us a call. We can buy it for cash or we could list it through the traditional multiple listing service. Again, there's no obligation. We'll go out. There's no fees associated with it. We'll give you a price. If we agree upon the price, we'll set a closing date, and then we'll buy it as is. It's really pretty straightforward. The contract's pretty straightforward, too. We really don't have too much pushback from any attorneys because of its simplicity, and we're accepting all the risk. You know, a lot of times we go into these houses and even the owners don't realize what's lurking under things, behind walls, things like that. We open up walls, all of a sudden we have issues. And a lot of times our budgets do get go over, definitely. That's why one of the things I do like is condos or townhomes, because it's somewhat limited to the walls inside the structure as opposed to outside the structure, which just adds additional complexity. And it just adds a lot to it, even though you wouldn't think so, it does. And that's the problem. It's just the additional complexity. And then, you know, we don't have to worry about the outside. We don't have to worry about the vinyl siding or the painting or the roof or the grounds or anything else associated with it. It's really just, you know, the windows and what's on the inside. So it's pretty segmented and relegated to a certain area, which can control your expenses considerably. And that's a good thing. But when we get some of these houses, all of a sudden we're just opening them up, and it's just, it's one horror story upon another. Now we're looking at one where the ceiling was sagging, and we're like, we weren't sure why it was sagging, and we started to open it up a little bit, and a previous contractor glued the sheetrock or the drywall to the other drywall, and there was no nails really keeping it up, and then all of a sudden everything came down. So all of a sudden, something that we didn't expect to be really fixing that much is all of a sudden as a result of a whole ceiling that has to be replaced. So it's just one thing upon another, and that happens a lot. So one of the things that I'd like to talk about is really structuring deals, and it's always a dynamic process. I spoke about this one deal that we're working on. It's four parcels of property in different towns with five houses. So one parcel has two houses on it. And I said before that a couple of them had underground tanks or partially underground tanks. And we did some soil tests associated with it. And they came back where this, what they call the soil's dirty. So it means that there's some type of environmental issue. This one specifically has to do with oil in the soil. And got some prices back to remediate that. And that's to remove the tank as well as clean the soil. So basically they'll remove the soil, bring it to an EPA site that's designated, and then they'll put fresh fill in. Before they do that, they'll start, you know, pulling the soil out and then doing some tests and determine if the soil is clean or not. And then if it is, they'll fill it in. If not, then they'll have to dig more out, so on and so forth. So of this one deal that has four parcels, like I said, there's two tanks that are buried, or one that's half buried. It's underneath a porch, so it's partially buried, and they're leaking. We got prices back of approximately $13,000 each. One is probably a little less, and I said straight up in the contract, I made it very clear, we said that if there's a problem with the tanks, we'll have to discuss it, and we're really not going to pay for it, but we'll figure something out. And the situation is that the gentleman, unfortunately, he doesn't have any money to pay for that cleanup, so we said we'll do that. And we want to do it before we close, because what might be $13,000 might not in the end be $13,000. It might be, I don't know, $14,000, or not $14,000, maybe like $40,000. So we need to know what it really is beforehand. And if I told them $13,000 and they gave me the $13,000 and afterwards it was $40,000, well, it's going to be hard for me to collect easily. So I want this resolved sooner. In addition, if, like I said in the previous broadcast, if it hits groundwater, that could cause a lot more issues. So I want to clean it beforehand to understand what my total exposure is. So as a result of that, I had to figure out a good way of crafting this addendum, which my attorney would eventually write up, but I had to figure this out. So we had a couple options. You know, the first option is that I do the work, and whatever it is, it is. And if we decide not to close on the house because of the environmental damages, we could have put it's called a UCC lien on it. And when he did sell it, I would get the money. So that's one option. The other option is that we would not buy the house. So that's a possibility. But at what point? So the way we decided and the way I figured out to craft it is this, is that we would do the initial remediation. We would continue with it until it got to a point, in the event this happened, that we would continue to clean it. And if it became at a point where it was just what we feel was cost prohibitive. And I don't really know what that number is, to be honest. Because it wasn't going to come out of our pocket in the end. But if I didn't see any light at the end of the tunnel, then that would be an issue. Like I said, with that one woman that had the tank and it went into the groundwater. And she doesn't know when that was going to be cleaned up. It could have been 5 years. So under that type of scenario, I would have probably just walked away from it. But I would have spent the money. So I did not really want a lien on that property because who knows if it would ever be sold. So what we said is that we would buy the other two properties, and once that property, those properties are sold, it would come out of their proceeds. Now, the other thing that we would do is, because we're using lines of credit, we do have to put some money up. It's like 10% approximately. So what we would do with that is we would purchase the property at the price that we had stated, and then we would get a check for the cleanup. And the reason we would do it that way, as opposed to reducing the price of the property at the end when we would close, is because the money that was expended for the cleanup, that's just cash that comes out. And, you know, cash is king. So we always want to preserve our cash and use lines of credit where we could. So we would purchase it at that price that we stated, and then we would get a check back, and that would reimburse us for the money. So that's the way we would do it. And again, that would save us in the end, because then we have our cash and we can do more deals or whatever the case may be. Any investor that says that, you know, they have unlimited funds or so on and so forth, that's just not possible. They might be well-funded, and we were well-funded. But to say that, you know, you could just spend money, that's crazy. It's just like a bank. Even banks have to have certain limits in terms of, you know, based on branches and things like that, about what their reserves are and how they spend the money. It's just, that's the way it is. So we make sure that we keep reserves, to make sure we're very strong financially. So we cover, you know, everything that comes up and those things that don't come up. So that's why we look at deals and we look at them, we structure them a certain way because of that. So with this one, we will say that the first house that we close on with them, that we will get from the proceeds, we will get, you know, cover our remediation. Now, if we close before the remediation starts, that money goes into escrow for the estimated amount, plus I added some, like, I don't know, $10,000 more or something like that. So we could get reimbursed as soon as we expend the money. And, you know, he needs to sell. I don't know if there's some, I don't know, issue. There's some issues with that. I'm not sure why he needs to sell. But he's very, very anxious to sell. The one house that has the oil tank, the house is burned down, basically. And it's underneath the porch. So it's half in underground and half not. It's above ground. And I think someone died there because there's a cross outside. And I think he's very anxious about that one. There's some suit going on, so I'm not sure what's going on with that, and I don't ask those questions. I don't need to ask those questions. You know, he's coming to me to fix his problem. That's what I do. Sometimes I'll ask just to get a general idea to help with the solution, but you know, he's a private person, so I'll just leave it at that. But we're here to help. So we're here to help very sticky situations. We'll put it at that. Very, very sticky situations. So, well, I'm going to have to close out today. Again, have a nice weekend. God bless. Take care, and everyone be safe, please. Also, before I forget, you could reach us at 973-240-8593 or TemplarCashForHouses.com. Again, thank you very much. Be safe. God bless, and take care of your family. Bye.
Life can be a roller coaster, and sometimes you need to sell your house fast. That's why there's TemplarBuysHouses.com. Maybe you're downsizing, getting a divorce, having health or financial issues. If so, head to TemplarBuysHouses.com. TemplarBuysHouses.com. TemplarBuysHouses.com will buy your house quickly and without hassle. If you've inherited a house that is vacant, contact TemplarBuysHouses.com. Dealing with them is easy and quick. No high-pressure sales tactics, and you won't have to fix up the house. They will buy your house as is. You pick the closing date and when you move out. No commissions and no hassles. Contact TemplarBuysHouses.com. TemplarBuysHouses.com. With an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. Call 973-315-7990. That's 973-315-7990.
Be sure to listen to the podcast of the Templar Real Estate Talk Show. Find it now at TemplarBuysHouses.com.
The preceding program was paid for by Templar Real Estate. The views and opinions expressed are not necessarily those of the staff and management of WMTR. As always, it is advisable to consult a professional before making a major decision.